south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, today I'm trying out a brand new microphone. Very high quality, something I did not want to buy, but I had to because my cleaning lady broke my very high-quality Sennheiser broadcast mic that cost me around $500. Now, she broke that quite a while ago, and for a year now, I've been using a Plantronics Bluetooth mic and earphone setup, and it's pretty good. But, you know, researchers are saying Bluetooth radiation is not very good for us. Lots of radiation, and it's right at your head, right? And your face, if you're using mics and earphones. So I finally broke down and got a good mic again. So you might be wondering, how did my cleaning lady break the mic? Well, it was attached to one of those mic stands that clips to your desk, and she knocked the thing off its mount. It hit the tile floor because, you know, here in Latin America, everything's cement and tile. There are really no wood floors to speak of. Maybe one out of 1,000 homes has one. And, you know, tile floors are not very forgiving. When you drop something, it just might break. And carpeting, well, there's not much of that either. That's a good thing because insects and such. You heard me do a show on that some time ago. In humid climates, insects just love living and laying their eggs in carpets. What a revolting development, huh? So, you never want to have wall-to-wall carpet in Latin America or any place in the tropics unless the room you have it in is always air-conditioned. And that's a costly proposition unless, of course, you have a solar off-the-grid energy system. Then it's free, right? But only maybe 1 in 10,000 people has a setup like that. So anyway, she dropped my $500 Sennheiser mic on the tile floor. It broke in half right at the junction where it connects to the mic stand. And I tried all the usual suspects, super glue, duct tape, double barrel epoxy. Oh, and by the way, for all you guys and gals out there who are collecting tools and supplies for your Plan B house, apartment, or residence, I neglected to tell you to get one of those tubes of double barrel epoxy. Why do they call it double barrel? Because it's two barrels. You can see two barrels built into a kind of syringe, and the two barrels mix as you push on it, and the result in about a half an hour, extremely hard epoxy, extremely hard. It's nothing like that single barrel stuff or single application epoxy. The double barrel stuff, that's the real deal, and it lasts forever. And the cost, around $5. But you see, the way that Sennheiser mic broke, even the epoxy and duct tape weren't enough. Murphy's Law, right? Why am I even mentioning this? I'm mentioning it because cleaning ladies and maintenance guys will break your stuff. It's a given. It's not intentional. They're just not into the details. And most of the time, they won't even tell you about it. You'll discover it. Or she'll leave the broken whatever it is on the kitchen table and give you a look and a shrug like it wasn't her fault. It was meant to be. It's in the manos de Dios, the hands of God, you know? That's always the Latino excuse for things that can't be explained. It's in los manos de Dios. Whether it's a car accident, a clogged drain, a broken pipe, it's in los manos de Dios. It's never anybody's fault. But whenever something goes good or right, it was the clever, quick-thinking Juan, Julio, or Alfredo who did it. When something good or excellent happened, it's never in los manos de Dios. It's never the hands of God. It's the luck, talent, or cleverness of humans. Sound familiar? That's just not in Latin America, you know. That's human nature around the world. We take credit for the good things, but it's bad luck and misfortune for things beyond our control, huh? So in the end, be aware that your cleaning lady, maintenance guy, whatever, they're going to break stuff. It's going to cost you dough. Remember, Latinos are not into the details. For example, if you got a plumber over and he walks in with a couple of tubes and a 2x4 and happens to scratch your nice rainforest hardwood front door with it, chances are he won't even stop to look at it or mention it at all. It's just bad luck and meant to be. Bad luck, but God's will. And believe me, you'll get no satisfaction arguing the point either. Not when they drag the big guy upstairs into the conversation. You can't win. It's wasted breath. You might as well lick your wounds and forget about it. So what you got to do is play defense. If you've got some stuff that's valuable and easily broken, delicate, or fragile, keep it away from the edge of counters and tables and maybe just keep it in a drawer or closet. So all you platinum-haired ladies out there who love your Wedgwood china in Hummels, if you bring them down, be prepared to tear your platinum hair out. Oh, and I learned a long time ago, the threat of docking your cleaning lady or your maintenance guy's pay for breaking something. Well, in the end, that might hurt you more than it hurts them, because remember, if your cleaning lady's only making 10 to 20 bucks a day, she's going to need every cent of that to keep food on the table at her house. And if you really do dock her pay, you're going to feel terrible about that. That is, if you've got any kind of heart at all. Though, admittedly, I have, on occasion, been accused of not having one. Oh, and how about this boots-on-the-ground story that just happened to me a couple days ago? I was invited to a birthday party, and man, do Latinos love their birthdays. They last a week, you know. Well, at this party, they had the cakes and the DJs, a million balloons. They had disco balls, the works, but no masks. You gotta love that. And as many Latino birthday parties will have, a mariachi band. You know, those pot-bellied, out-of-tune guys with the gigantic sombreros. Well, you and I might laugh about it and think it's a cliche, but to have a mariachi band at your birthday party is a big thing here in Latin America, and it doesn't matter if you're in Mexico, Ecuador, or Uruguay. Even though, as it turns out, mariachis are strictly a Mexican invention, all of Latin America has kind of picked up on the idea that mariachis are the topper, the icing on the cake, for most any kind of party, especially, though, birthday parties. As for me, I think mariachis are dead boring. So anyway, I'm sitting next to this Latina bombshell, and I'm talking about a girl whose figure defies gravity. If you thought the Kardashians had some artificial curves, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, you heard me on past shows saying that Latinas with lots of plastic surgery don't mind talking about it. For them, it's pretty much a badge of honor that they actually have the dough to afford it. Not like gringos and people from the first world who get the stuff done. It's obvious. Everybody knows it, but they just would rather keep you guessing and would be insulted or embarrassed if you mentioned it. So anyway, I'm sitting next to this girl and her boyfriend walks up and calls her by her name. Her name is Denise. So I'm sitting down with her and her boyfriend now. So I introduced myself and she said her name was Denise. I said, "You mean Denise? In English, it's Denise." And she said, "No, Denise." I said, "Well, how do you spell that?" Of course, the whole conversation is going on in Spanish because she speaks no English. And sure enough, she spells it D-E-N-N-Y-S. I said, "Oh, really? I know some Denises, but I don't know a Denny's. You're the first." She said, "Yeah, it's Denny's, like the restaurant in the United States, Denny's." And I said, "Don't tell me." She said, "Yep, my parents named me after the restaurant. They like the name. And they love the food." Turns out she's half Venezuelan, half Puerto Rican. So her mother was able to travel to the States because they automatically got a U.S. passport, right? By the way, obviously her parents don't know what us native-born gringos know about Denny's, that it's a low-level greasy spoon. And it's not in any way known for its food. It's known for the fact that practically nothing else is open after the bars close and you got the munchies. But, you know, I couldn't help but say to her, "You know, you're lucky you're only 30 years old. Because if you were any older and your parents liked that restaurant, your name would not be Denny. It would be Sambo." Then I explained to her the chain used to be called Sambo's until some black rights activists got them to change their name because it had negative, you know, Confederate States of America connotations. And then, as to be expected, they gave me another deer in the headlights look. And the boyfriend said, "There's just so much about you gringos we just don't get." He said, "Something like that would never happen down here." Then he said, "Why are you gringos so sensitive about everything? Americans used to have huevos. What happened? Can't you just live and let live?" And then I gave him a look and a shrug and I said, "Yep, you could say the U.S. is short on testosterone, or you could say it's in los manos de Dios. Why do you think I'm living down here? America has gone nuts." And then he said, "But still, it's the best country in the world and all of us Latinos would rather live there than here." He said, "How do you explain that?" I said, "Easy. You Latinos see the lamestream media and Hollywood version of the U.S., You're not nuts and you're not stupid. You just have very incomplete information." And then he asked me to elaborate. Now remember, this is a guy who's never been to the U.S. and it's his big dream to go there. And I said, "You got about 10 hours to spare, then I could pretty much fill you in." Oh, and I was sitting next to the gravity-defying Denny's. And we got to talking about how some people can and some can't afford plastic surgery. And that there's a lot of schlocks and charlatans out there. And her boyfriend said, "No, no, we found the right surgeon, all right. Cost a ton, but it was worth it." Then she turned to him and said, "Yeah, but Nestor, I still need a few touch-ups." She pointed to her lips and said, "They're too thin." Then Nestor said, "I doubt if anyone's looking at your lips." Then I said, "There probably are a few guys that are really good. Therefore, they're way overbooked and really expensive, too." And she said, "Yeah, that's why I get all my work done in Venezuela." Now, remember, she's half Venezuelan. Then I said, "Really? Hasn't there been a huge brain drain out of Venezuela? All the professionals, etc., have left? She said, yes, that's true in most aspects. But as for plastic surgeons and medical specialists, practically none of them have left. For one thing, once they leave, they can't practice medicine in any other country because you got to take the boards, the exams there. And that means there's a big barrier and a glass ceiling for them. Then she said, in Venezuela, things are falling apart, sure, but plastic surgeons are doing just fine. They're all booked. Why? She said, if you go to a really good plastic surgeon in Colombia and get an estimate, it's 4 times what you'd pay in Venezuela for an equally qualified surgeon. And the doctor's as good or better. So, there's a steady flood of Latinas coming from other Latin American countries and Europe to Venezuela just for plastic surgery treatments. They book 2 weeks or a month in Venezuela, get all their work done, get a nice vacation out of it, and still come out ahead. Then I said, of course, you have to know the right guys to go to, right? And she said, sure. I've got family there, she said. I'm connected. I know the right people to go to. So in that little 10-minute conversation, I found out there's at least one purely capitalistic business that's alive and well in Venezuela, cosmetic surgery. And I also found out you have to pay for your surgery in dollars. The national funny money, the Bolivar, is not accepted. Oh, and get this, the doctors, she said, are all living in really nice gated, guarded communities. They have nice cars. They go to nice restaurants. Yep, there are still some nice restaurants in Venezuela in the upscale neighborhoods. And though they see the rest of society collapsing around them, their particular circumstances have not changed much. They're still the upper middle, even wealthy class. And that, you know, is another good example that illustrates the fact that Latinos who have good incomes and good growing businesses have no desire to leave or escape to the U.S. Sure, for them, it's a nice place to visit and go on vacation, but they don't want to live there. Why would they? They're doing just fine. And if they dropped everything, just packed their bags and left for the States, they'd be starting from ground zero again, which is exactly the root of the problem you're seeing up in the States right now and have been seeing for the last 10 or 20 years. You got the poorest of the poor sneaking in, people who've got nothing to lose, no higher education. Most of them haven't even graduated high school. They've got no skills, no dough to invest, just a bunch of scattered family members who snuck in the way they did some many years ago, who are residents, even citizens now, because of all the multiple presidential amnesty programs. But really, they've got nothing to offer the U.S. or contribute. But they want and crave things from the U.S. once they get there. The car, the bling, the apartment, the goodies. They want everything they see depicted as the American dream in the media, advertisements, and Hollywood movies. Not thinking for a minute that people who have all those things up in the States, people who have made it, are people that put in the hard work and the effort, or maybe they've even went and got advanced degrees, to get a leg up and therefore have a more than decent shot at the so-called American dream or American-style middle-class or upper-middle-class success. So what you've got is millions of uneducated people arriving in the States without papers, without two nickels to rub together, owing the coyotes back home $5 or $10 grand. With all that negative baggage, is that any way to kick off or launch your American dream? Just saying. Problem is, 99.9% of Latinos just don't get it. They never do the mental exercise to follow through on that logic. They never do the math. By the way, today, since I'm using this new microphone for the first time, I'll be dicking around with it a little bit, so bear with me if the sound and volume change a little bit along the way. All right, here's a good email from Chris. He says, Johnny, the Opera browser has a free VPN. Do you think that's sufficient, or do I need a VPN that you pay for? Which VPN do you recommend again? Thanks, Chris. Well, I think you all know what a VPN is. That's a service that takes your internet connection and routes it through another router in a different country, so it looks as if anyone's tracking you or trying to sell you stuff, get your data and stuff, that you're in another country, not the country you're actually in. I use a VPN all the time. I've been using it for years. And how do you know these things work? Well, because when I do get ads or any kind of promotional crap, it's always coming from the country and the language I've got my VPN running through. Like, for example, right now I've got my VPN running through Tanzania in Africa. And then when I click on YouTube, for example, and the screen comes up, there's all kinds of YouTube videos in a really funky language, Tanzanian. And the occasional spam or pop-up ad when I'm in my Gmail account coming from Africa. And then when I switch my VPN to another country, let's say Argentina, I get Argentine ads and pop-up windows. Actually, it's pretty cool because you know you're throwing a wrench into the data mining system of Google and YouTube. Amazon, all of them. Oh, and Amazon. That's funny because when I order something from Amazon, or let's say I'm just browsing through Amazon stuff to check prices, on the left upper corner of the Amazon screen, it says, sorry, we don't ship this product to Tanzania. So, yes, those VPNs work like a charm. It's your best defense against spam, tracking, and pop-up windows. And like I said, even if you get some spam or a pop-up window here and there, you got to laugh because it's a complete waste of time and effort on the other end, the people who are sending you that junk. Anyway, it's a great defense. As for Chris's question, I'd be leery of anything they give away for free on the internet because nothing's for nothing. So if the Opera browser has a free VPN, it's really not free. Someone's mining your data. You have to pay for it. I pay something like, I think, $30 or $40 a year for my VPN. You've heard of Proton Mail, right? It's a very good anonymous mail service. And you know, if you subscribe and actually buy Proton Mail, not use the free basic one, the VPN's included. So you actually are paying for it. That's what I use. And of course, most of you know I use StartMail too. And I always do my searches through startpage.com. I never use Google, although all those services like StartPage, DuckDuckGo, and the other anonymous browsers like Bravo actually use Google, but they just strip off your IP address so no one can find out who's doing the searches, so they can't send you ads and pop-up windows. I love that. So for years now, I've been using startpage.com as my search engine. That's free, of course, but StartMail is not free, and I subscribe to that. And I got to tell you, I've been using that StartPage search engine for years now, and I never, ever once got a pop-up window or any spam. Of course, if I check into my Gmail account, which I have to every day because it's connected to the expatfiles@gmail.com, I have had that account now for around 12 years. And if I would have known what I know now back then, I never would have signed up for Gmail. But who knew 12 years ago that they'd have turned into a sneaky sell your data spy agency? They've got a product to sell, all right, and it's you. So I've got a Gmail address, of course, for the show. Though, like you, I have some other email services too, a couple of them encrypted completely, like StartMail. Though there are a lot of good services out there, like ProtonMail, as mentioned. I really suggest you get one for the sensitive stuff. You know, you never want to put your passport or your bank numbers or anything having to do with finances or your personal life on your free email account, like Gmail, Yahoo, whatever. For example, with my bank, you always have to give them an email because they're going to send you notices of transactions. And if you want to move money around, you can do it electronically. But you never want to do that with a Gmail or a free account. So by all means, get something like ProtonMail or StartMail because they encrypt all their stuff. As far as the bank sending messages, I always have them send to my encrypted StartMail account. And since StartMail lets you have up to 10 alias accounts going at one time, that means you can have 10 separate email addresses. You can easily partition those. For example, if you're getting Social Security direct deposits, you create a special email account for that with its own particular name that possibly has a memory aid in it, like SSP for Social Security payment. Then, for example, if you're ordering stuff from Amazon, create another email address for that correspondence, maybe with the letters AMZ in it as a memory aid. Then, if you travel a lot and use those airline consolidators, create an email just for your travel stuff. If you pass info back and forth to the folks back home or Uncle Harry who's in the slammer, create an email address for that. That way, when an email comes into your StartMail account, you instantly know where it's coming from because it shows that alias address. Oh, and by the way, some people have said, Johnny, but those are just temporary email addresses, those 10 they give you with StartMail, right? Wrong. When you set up one of those alias email addresses, and you can select your own, that is, name your own, or you can let StartMail select one for you. Anyway, when you set up one of those 10 alias accounts, it asks you if you want it temporary for 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week. In other words, do you want it to disappear at some time in the future, or do you want it forever? And that's a great option, especially if, for example, you go to a website and they say they're going to download a report for you, and you have to give them an email address. So now you know you're on their crap list. They're going to send you all kind of junk forever. But if you give them one of those alias addresses and say you only want it to be active for 1 day or a week, then it's gone. You'll never get any junk from those people again because it doesn't exist anymore. And all the crap, spam, and junk they try to send you will bounce back to them saying that this is no longer a valid email address. Ha ha. You get the last laugh. Ha ha. And I don't make any money, not a dime off of telling you this. I get no points or money for click-throughs. I'm just telling you, man, it's $50 a year, well spent. And on top of that, I have the Proton VPN, which I spend, I think, $50 a year on. So for a total of $100 a year. I get almost no spam, no junk mail, and no screwed up promotions unless I go to my Gmail account. Because, you know, Gmail's always scraping, processing, and stealing your data. Repackaging it, selling it, and that's why you get all that spam in the pop-up windows. So why not fake them out and use a Venezuelan or Nigerian server through a VPN? Believe me, advertisers have little interest in publishing ads for people who live in Nigeria or Venezuela, for obvious reasons. All right, now let's talk a little bit about what you may have seen in the news, that there's some riots going on in Guatemala City, and that some people have taken to the streets and firebombed Congress. Well, that just goes to show you how they pump up fake news. Believe me, every day in every capital city in Latin America, there are protesters in the streets in front of Congress and the presidential palace, usually instigated by ringleaders who are from the first world and involved in first world NGOs. We've talked about that before. Just be aware that 99% of all NGOs are corrupt, tax-exempt first world charities that come to third world countries with a team of nice guy, clueless do-gooders. Meanwhile, the organizers and board back home are living the high life. First-class travel, four-star hotels, and champagne lunches, far removed from the sweaty masses they're supposed to be helping. And when you see one of these third-world big-city protests, you'll always see four or five very tall, very white gringo types front and center, toting the biggest signs. They stick out like sore thumbs in a crowd of short, dark locals that they've instigated and put up to a huelga. Huelga means strike or protest. So what happened in Guatemala is not unusual, except for the fact that Congress, unbeknownst to the general public, behind closed doors, passed a budget bill that, as usual, favored all the friends and cronies of those fat-ass, malignant politicians. The thing is, they passed it behind closed doors. That's never been done before. And the crazy claim that protesters firebombed Congress? That gives the average slug the impression there are city blocks of government buildings burning in Guatemala City. Man, all they did was manage to set a fire in one small room in Congress, which has about 50-plus rooms, which was put out in about 10 minutes before any real damage was done. I saw the pictures. But hey, that makes good copy, because if it bleeds, it leads, and everyone wants to hear bad news, right? So bottom line, don't think it's unusual. People get pissed. They hate their governments. They know they're all thieving, sociopathic liars. And sometimes when they push the envelope too far, they steal a bit too much. The people get pissed and take to the streets. Take normally peaceful Taiwan. It too has been in the news lately for protests. The reason for this massive protest? In fact, here's a quote from Reuters. It says the protest march in Taiwan was organized by labor groups, with much of the anger focusing on the government's decision to ease restrictions on the importation of pork from the U.S., which they say threatens food safety because the U.S. allows certain additives and fattening agents, specifically an additive called ractopamine, which enhances the leanness, but banned in the European Union and China. Now, if you've seen the photos, the Taiwanese pork riots dwarf the protests in Guatemala. All I can say is it must have been a very slow news week for lame street media. But then again, in a way, when you hear this kind of stuff, it's good news for expats and gringos, because those of us with boots on the ground know what it's really like to live here in Latin America. I say it's good to let all the lemmings up in the States think it's a hellhole down here. I mean, really, who really wants hordes of gringos coming down, turning beautiful laid-back destinations into tainted gringo landing zones, jacking up the cost of living just like in Costa Rica, parts of Mexico, Colombia, Panama, etc. So occasional bad news in the first world media is good for us gringos and expats. You get the point. All right, so let's talk about traveling and the upcoming vaccine that we know is on its way. Now, I'm looking at an article coming out of an Ecuador newspaper saying doctors, nurses, and emergency response personnel and those with serious illnesses and those over the age of 55 will be the first in Ecuador to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, saying they've already got multi-million dollar contracts with three different vaccine producers and they'll start vaccinating in March, April, and May. The remainder of Ecuadorians, about half the population, will be vaccinated in the second half of next year. Now, here's the part I don't get, and I want you guys to clarify this for me if you can. It's absolutely illogical. The Ecuador's health minister is quoted as saying, those who've been already infected and have recovered will be included in the second group to receive the vaccine later next year. Wait a minute. Is it just me? Am I stupid? if you've already contracted COVID-19, you've tested positive, and now, of course, after a week or two or three, you test negative, why in f***ing hell would you want to take the vaccine or be forced to take the vaccine? In other words, your body's immune system handled it, and now you're going to let some government dickhead authority make you take a vaccine, re-inject parts of the virus, and all the other unknown crap in that vaccine? Preservatives, additives, attenuators, heavy metals? Am I missing something here? Listen, in a past life, I was a biomedical engineer. Hey, I'm no immunologist, but I know a lot more about biology than the average doofus. And in no way does that sound normal or reasonable to me. It's like saying you've had measles or chickenpox or smallpox, and you're over it. But we're going to give you the vaccine again.
Duh.
And get this, most biologists and immunologists worth their salt these days are saying by the time the vaccine comes, not all these experimental jobs they're testing right now, but a vaccine that they say actually works most of the time. By then, a third to a half of the world will have already tested positive, in other words, have been infected, and over it. So giving them the vaccine will do absolutely nothing except maybe damage them. Because, well, you know, we're talking about vaccines. They always have secondary effects, right? Now, I may be missing something here. I may be stupid, but it sounds like all this is a money-making machine for Big Pharma and a brand new intensive monitoring protocol for governments. Oh, and have you heard? Companies like Pfizer and Merck and the rest of them just don't ship doctors or clinics a box of vaccines. You have to have special cooling equipment for them. In fact, each and every city's health department and every hospital and clinic will have to buy tens of thousands of dollars in special cooling equipment to store this stuff. Look it up. You'll see it's true. What a racket. Man, am I glad I'm down here in Latin America. Oh, and by the way, this may be your very last chance to come to one of my Expat Insider seminars without having to get a vaccination, because all the airlines are saying when the vaccine comes, and that'll be right around midsummer, they say, next year, everybody who flies will be required to take the vaccine. So those of you coming down to my January seminar in about a month and a half now, you'll probably be the last group of people that can fly down without getting the mandatory vaccine as dictated by airline policy. Oh, and I'm still looking for a guy and a gal who want to have roommates at the seminar and save $750 off the single price. So shoot me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Oh, and remember, you'll still get the early bird discount that was supposed to have expired, but I'm holding it open for you. So get off the fence and make your move.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.